Joyful blessings. This is Kaylin Castell, co-founder of the Shamanic Astrology Mystery School and creator of the Celestial Timings, with a look at the winter solstice. Why is it so important? Actually, what is the winter solstice? And what does it mean? What is it about? And why is it important at this time? So first, what I'd like to share is that the solstices and equinoxes, they are the seasonal gateways of the year and literally represent a time when we have a specific experience. So, for example, the December solstice, the winter solstice in the Northern Hemisphere, is the time when we have the shortest day and the longest night. It is the time of the greatest amount of darkness, just before the return of the light, just before the days begin to lengthen. And that is actually determined by when the sun reaches a coordinate called zero Capricorn. Now, astronomers and astrologers, tropical astrologers agree on this point. They both call it zero Capricorn. It is a seasonal point and has nothing to do with the star patterns, though this seasonal point does move through all the star patterns, and I'll share a little bit more about that. So the winter solstice is a time that has been important to many cultures throughout time. In fact, the ways of tracking time, a lot of cultures worked on having horizon calendars, or they had different ways of creating timing to know what time it was for them in their seasonal cycle, when to do their ceremonies, when to do their celebrations, when to plant their seeds, when to do their harvesting, and in what ways could they do these ceremonies and these timings to really honor and respect the seasonal cycles and be in harmony with them and work with them. Now, we have lost a lot of that because we are working and operating from something that's called the Gregorian calendar. This calendar was brought in around the 1500s by Pope Gregory, hence the name Gregorian calendar, and is designed to ultimately, you know, I've heard people talk about this calendar is being designed to fixate consciousness on the material plane. So it takes us away from that more magical connection to the cyclical cycles, to the cycles of the solstices and equinoxes. And there's an arbitrary beginning date of January 1st. It's not really connected to anything. It is a couple of weeks after the December solstice, but it's not really connected to a lunar cycle or a solar cycle. Many cultures throughout time have worked with figuring out how to know when to do their ceremonies based on how to calibrate the solar cycle with the lunar cycle. So now if you're using a horizon calendar, so for example, the Hopi used horizon calendars. Many of the tribes of the Southwest use horizon calendars. So when they saw the sun rising along a certain point on the horizon, and there would be somebody in the tribe, it was their designation to stand in a certain place, either for sunrise or sunset. And when they saw the sun rising or setting along a mountain range in a certain place, they would know that there was a certain the solar gateway, a certain gateway was happening, or it was time to do specific ceremonies. Sometimes they created petroglyph sites, and they would do it in such a way that when the sun came through a slot, it would illuminate specific petroglyphs, and they knew it was time to do those particular ceremonies. So we have lost that connection to how the solar cycle works, and also they would bring in the experience of the lunar cycle. So, for example, in winter solstice, many cultures use the full moon closest to the winter solstice for their biggest ceremonies. Now, what's interesting about this is that the December solstice, the winter solstice, is the longest night, the shortest day, the greatest amount of darkness that's possible in the solar cycle, right before the return of the light and the days begin to lengthen. So when the sun reaches that point, it actually stands still. Solstice means standstill of the sun. And there are 3 days that it stands still in one exact spot, but really about 3 weeks where it's not moving very much. It's pretty much stopped in the sky or standing still as it moves along the horizon. And at the December solstice or winter solstice, the sun is rising as far south as possible on the horizon. And that means when it's tracking from sunrise to sunset, it's arcing low across the sky, hence the shorter days, than it is when the sun is at the northern extreme, when it's tracking high across the sky at the summer solstice, hence the longer days at the summer solstice. And the equinox points is when the sun rises exactly due east and due west, and hence the time where we experience the balance of day and night, equal light and equal dark. Equinox means equal. So the solstices and equinoxes represent a turning point in the path of the sun. So it'll either be going towards greater light or it'll be returning to the place where it's going into greater darkness. Now at the December solstice, the full moon at that time is tracking high across the sky, meaning that the moon is in the sky the longest time, filling the night with its light. So the light of the moon fills the sky at the December solstice or at the winter solstice. So that is why the full moon of the year, the full moon nearest the December solstice, was the one where often the big ceremonies would happen. And that didn't always happen exactly on the December solstice. So there's times when it will be very close, within hours of the exact solstice. In fact, the last time that happened was in December 2010. It won't happen again until December 2018, when it's at when the full moon happens on December 22nd. So every 8 to 9 years, the full moon will be very close, within hours of the exact solstice. But other times it can be as much as 2 weeks away from the exact solstice time. But still, ancient cultures would calibrate the moon with the solar cycle. Now, something else to understand is that the moon cycle, something that is very confusing to many people, there's two ways that the moon moves, to be aware of how the moon moves or how long it takes it to move from one place to another. So there is something called the sidereal moon cycle, meaning how the moon is moving through the constellations. So if we took a starting place like Spica or Regulus or Antares or Aldebaran or another star that's fairly close to the ecliptic, and we looked at the moon on a specific night with that star, it would be 27.3 days later before the moon would return to that star. That is the sidereal moon cycle. The lunar phases, the synodic cycle of the moon, meaning when the moon returns to be with the sun in the same phase, is a 29.5-day cycle. So from new moon to new moon or full moon to full moon, it takes 29.5 days for the moon to return to that phase. Interestingly, many people believe the number 13 is the sacred number of the moon. And that is true if you're looking at the sidereal cycle. The moon will pass any given star, any given starting place, 13 times each year. Because the closest whole number, if you divide 27.3 into 365.25 days, is 13. However, 29.5 days from new moon to new moon or full moon to full moon is the closest whole number, if you divide that into a year, is the number 12. Now, every 3 years or so, there will be 13 full moons in a year. So, for example, in 2013, from the December solstice 2012 to the December solstice 2013, there are 13 full moons. That won't happen again for 3 more years. It won't happen again until 2016. If you use the starting point of January 1st, which is the arbitrary starting date of the Gregorian calendar, that there will also occasionally be, every third year, 13 full moons in the calendar year. However, the calendar year isn't really connected to the solstices. So one of the things that the in designing the Gregorian calendar was to really disconnect people from these natural cycles. So they just picked the starting date that's 2 weeks after the solstice. You know, it's not even the Christmas time. But the solstice, if we come back to the myth of the solstice and how it connects to Christmas, there is the sun, S-U-N, and the sun, S-O-N. The sun is dying and being reborn. So many stories, mythic stories, cultural stories around the sun and the return of the light connect to the story, say, we have around Christmas of the birth of the Christ, the birth of the light into the world. And then, at another part of the year, there's the dying of that particular sun, S-O-N, at the Easter time, and then it's reborn again. But the idea, this idea of the dying and reborn God or sun, S-O-N, is really literally what the S-U-N, what the sun is doing. It is going into the deepest, darkest density of night, of the density of this reality, and the longest night at the December solstice, and then the light begins to return, slowly begins to return, the days begin to lengthen as we then approach the summer solstice, where we have the longest day and the shortest night. So these mythic stories were connected into the celebrations, into the ways that cultures worked with this. Many cultures did use the winter solstice as a beginning of the solar cycle, the New Year's point. Other cultures used other times. They might use the crescent moon appearing in the evening sky with the Pleiades. This was what the Hawaiians and the Tahitians did as a way of starting their new year. That currently happens in the month of November. And it was the new moon, the crescent moon, the visible crescent moon for them began the new moon cycle. Many cultures looked at the new moon as when you could see that first crescent moon, not when the sun and the moon were conjunct, as we tend to look at it now. And that would be when they would celebrate their new year. In the Celtic culture, it was the cross quarter points. So there's the halfway point between the solstices and equinoxes, known as the cross quarters. These are Imbolc, Beltane, Lammas or Lunasa, and Samhain. And the Samhain cross quarter happens in November, and that's when the Celtic New Year was. And they used either the new moon or full moon closest to that point to begin their new year. The Hebrew calendar, they used the crescent moon, the new crescent moon closest to the autumnal equinox, and that would begin their new year. So there's different ways of engaging the new year time, but it is interesting to note that many, many cultures, a lot of cultures, the Native American cultures, Mayan cultures, many cultures did use the winter solstice point as the new year's point. So when we look at this and we think about how the Romans looked at the New Year's point, they did something. It was a festival called Saturnalia. And this is fascinating to consider if we think about the planet Saturn as being most like the seasonal sign of Capricorn. So zero Capricorn, as we've already established, is the starting point of the solar cycle. When the sun reaches zero Capricorn, we have the experience, if we're in the northern hemisphere, of the shortest day and the longest night, the deepest descent of spirit into matter, the time of the greatest density and darkness before the return of the light. Saturnalia was a time when they would overturn the rules. Saturn is the planet that is most like Capricorn. Capricorn and Saturn are about the rules, the boundaries, the how we operate in this reality. The law is another way to say that, the operating manual. There's many different ways we could look at, you know, how we negotiate and navigate this reality. So the Romans would overturn the law. They would suspend the executions, and they would The masters serve the slaves, and the married people could forget about being married for this time of Saturnalia. And it could last anywhere from 3 to 12 days, often 7 days. But they had several days around the solstice time where they would kind of throw it all up in the air. And it was sort of like a chaotic party that would happen. And then at the end of Saturnalia, everything would be, the law would be returned, and maybe with some new insights and awareness. So in a sense, we are now in a planetary Saturnalia that is lasting for perhaps at least 72 years. And the reason for this is that the December solstice sun, zero Capricorn point, the sun now rises on the galactic cross. So what is the galactic cross? This is the place in the sky where the path of the sun or the ecliptic, the path the planets follow, also known as the plane of our solar system, intersects the plane of our galaxy, and it creates a cross. And there are two places in the sky where that happens. One is near galactic center, and that's where the December solstice sun is rising, and the other is at the galactic edge, and that is where the winter summer solstice sun is currently rising. Now, of course, if you live in the southern hemisphere, this is exactly opposite. So the opposite seasons are happening south of the equator. But it's still, the sun is still rising in the same place in the sky. There's still same stars behind it. There's still, the sun is rising on the cross. Solstice literally means standstill, the standstill of the sun. And the sun stands still and rises in the same place for at least 3 days. It actually rises fairly near the same place for about 3 weeks, but it does move slightly during that time. But exactly in the same place for 3 years. So for three days, I'm sorry. So standstill of the sun at the solstice points. And that is the, that is, means that if you use a new moon or full moon closest to the solstice point, you're really in the window of the solstice for about 3 weeks. And so that using those, the moon calendar, aligning the moon calendar with the solstice calendar is powerful. And if it happens to be that a full moon is exact with the solstice, it's even more powerful. And because the winter solstice sun is rising on the galactic cross near galactic center, we know that we're at the end and beginning of a 26,000 year cycle. Or at least at the halfway point in the 26,000-year cycle. But there are other cross-checks that would suggest this is the end and beginning of a 26,000-year cycle, so a great year. And what we hold in our consciousness and awareness becomes magnified and even more important. Now, these solstices and equinox points move 1 degree every 72 years. So we could look at the 72-year window from 1962 to 2034 as being the center point of this turning of the ages. So each solstice then becomes even more magnified and more important because the solstice sun is rising on the cross. The sun is on the cross for 3 days. The sun on the cross for 3 days. So that reminds us of certain mythic stories. Now, the Christians didn't have a monopoly on this particular story. In fact, they borrowed it from older stories. Mithraeus was also a god that was that would die on the cross and be reborn. And there are others. So the Christians basically borrowed that and made that part of their mythos to work with. Now, in terms of working with the calendar, our calendar is basically designed not to be connected to the magic of the cycles and the seasons. It's designed to fixate our conscious awareness on the material plane. It also is designed to know when to pay your taxes, when to buy Christmas gifts. So the idea of giving gifts at Christmas was not originally material. It actually was the giving of your gifts, maybe through song or dance or through creating something amazing, like a meal or, creating a ceremony or doing some kind of entertaining So those would be the gifts that were given as the light was returning, in honor of the new year and giving the gifts of the year. So it's just another way to think about how to incorporate the giving of your gifts as you imagine what you're holding in intention for the new solar cycle. So a really great way to work with this timing is to really think about what it is that you're wanting to energize, similar to a new moon. What seeds are you planting? What images, what dreams are you dreaming? Because we really are dreaming up not only the next solar year, but the next galactic year of 26,000 year cycle. So what we're holding in consciousness, what we're dreaming about, and how we're choosing to celebrate and reclaim this connection to these cycles and seasons, and get reconnected to the magic that is there for us when we are willing to be with the rising sun or the setting sun at the solstice or equinox, to create our horizon calendars, to be conscious of the new moons and the full moons closest to these solar gateways, and to work with them and celebrate them and be in ceremony with them and come together in community to dream the dream onward together, to envision a world where there's peace and plenty for all, and that everyone's needs are met, and that we all get to bring our gifts and give our gifts and be celebrated and honored for the gifts that we have to bring and give to the world, especially the gifts that we are dreaming about and imagining and energizing during a solstice time, especially the winter solstice at the beginning of the new solar year. So wishing everyone a joyous, magical, and very blessed winter solstice time.